guys. Before I bring a message this morning, I've got something. Andrew, would you like to come up? It wasn't really a notice and wasn't really a testimony, but very sadly, the local butcher, Benfield's Butcher, at Benfield's Butchery, took his own life this week. And I've noticed that in sort of bereavement ads in the paper now, we're getting a lot more honest about the reality of divorce, reality of suicide. And so it was mentioned that in the ad, there's no secret, it's not like it's something I've known from the community. But I'm going to get Andrew just to pray for him, for the family and all those that will be involved. That the funeral might have even happened, I'm not sure. I only heard about it a few days after it happened. And it reminded us as a church, we pray regularly for the 500 houses that directly connect with the church. It's surprising, if you look in the block around the church, there's that many houses. But I'm reminded as someone who's involved in business that there's a business community as well that comes and goes. And I'm not really sure the situation that led to that, but I shared a few weeks ago being down to Ashburton for the day and being aware of the number of youth suicides, which a friend of mine was often involved in. So I'm going to get Andrew to pray for the situation in our community and this ongoing issue, thank you, of suicide. Thanks,
Father,
Andrew.
Father, we just, first of all, Lord, we just uphold the friends and family of this man. Father, some it may be a surprise, some it may not be, Lord. And we're just aware of the shock and trauma that they'll be facing, the deep sense of loss that they'll be going through, the bewilderment, Father. And so, Father, we just ask that you would minister into their hearts. We ask you to lift off that trauma and that shock. Mm. But in the midst of it, Lord, I just pray, Father, that you would begin to speak into their hearts and minds, and you would begin to sow your thoughts to them, Lord, that they would begin to seek. Father, our hearts don't even seek you without the moving of your Spirit, and I pray for the moving of their spirits, your Spirit, over these people, Father. And Father, it grieves our hearts to think of all the lives that are lost to suicide. And Father, as a nation, Lord, we desperately need you, Father. We desperately need your moving of your Spirit. And Father, I'm just conscious of everything, Jesus, you did for us on the cross. And you did it all, Lord. There's nothing needs to be done that hasn't been done by you. And I pray for that message of the cross, the message of your deep, deep love for every person, Father, that would come out. Father, with you, lead people to shine or just lead people to your people or even just an angelic visit, Father. Just something, Lord, that would lead people, all of us, but especially those who are vulnerable, especially those who are being nudged on by the enemy, Lord, to take their own lives. I just pray for the moving of your Spirit in the city and even in Ashburton further afield, Lord. Mm-hmm. Father, move, Lord. Our hearts cry for not yet another person who's taken their life. And I think of the pain and the suffering they went through. And that's not an easy thing, Lord, but we just pray that your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, would minister hope, Lord, mm-hmm. would minister your love into these lives, Father. Father, we just, we're grateful we know you, Lord, and I pray that you would come to pour more and more people into your kingdom, Father, that they could know your hope and your mercy and your deep love for them in Jesus' name.
So if you're a businessman or woman in the church today, you might like to help me to write a suitable flyer. I guess that's the word, and I want to take it to the businesses in the area because really a sense of a missed opportunity is the wrong word, but a missed response that maybe we've made or could have made before. Which is difficult in these situations, but just wanted to make you aware and be aware of this. Essentially, anybody who takes their own life has come to a stage where there's an inability to construct a meaningful future. And if you know of anyone like that, please, we would love to talk to them. I just wanted to say that at the start of today. Now, I'm testing this out, obviously. I don't think it's working that well, but I'm interested to see what you think. We've fiddled with for ages. Keep going or go back to that one? What do we think? Okay, it sounds a little bit ringy from here. Andrew might want to knock it back a little bit, possibly. Anyway, today we're going to pick up, we left off a few weeks ago. The more observant of you will notice that there is the communion table sitting in a place, not where it ought not, but not where it usually is. And the backstory to that is that 2 weeks ago we had a look in 1 Chronicles 13 about the incorrect movement of the ark. And we saw that as the ark was put on a cart, or in this case we improvised and we dragged it along, because it was moved incorrectly, it resulted in great dishonour on David the king, but great honour on the house of Obed-Edom. And he was the person who was the closest, and David said, "What can I do with this ark? We've been transporting it. The ark represents the glory of God that was going from one place to another, but it was a man-made idea and a man-made way of doing it. And God clearly spoke and said, this is not the way in which this ark should be transported." When particularly the Uzzah touched it and was killed because of it. So the ark sat in the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months. And the end of the time we looked at last week, we see that God blessed the house of Obed-Edom. He was the man who had this ark sitting in the middle of his room. And the glory of God was in his house and blessed him. Now, bearing in mind, as I said before, this wasn't in the garage. This wasn't in sort of some outhouse. This was in the middle of the living room. And the person who had touched it before, because the ark had not been transported correctly, had died. Now, Obed-Edom was his household, not just his house. So he would have had children, servants, people running all or moving all around this. So this was kept in a special place. It was not touched, we understand, for 3 months. So that's the story. And we've got Obed-Neville sitting here representing Obed-Edom. And he's been looking after this for the last 3 months. And his house has been blessed because of it, hasn't it, Neville? Amen. So we pick up the story in 1 Chronicles 15. It'll be up on the overhead. And this is how it's brought to Jerusalem the proper way. Now, firstly, before we start, last week the service was brought to you by a particular letter. Anyone remember what that was? D. Good. Okay. So you might remember any of the D's, etc. So today the service is brought to you by CRC, not the company, but these three letters indicate what we're going to look at today. And what I want you to think, and you think of CRC, every time you see a can of this again in future, you'll be able to think of three things. Firstly, correct. Secondly, result. And thirdly, what that codifies. In other words, if we do something correctly and we see a result, it makes a code for us to follow. And I believe this is particularly significant in the three things we're praying for as a church. So I want to pick up now on the correct, firstly, way of doing things in Chronicles 15, verse 1. Is that the right, Andy, you've got the right chapter here? I think we have. Wonderful. So 1 Chronicles 15, verse 1. And it says here that David had built houses for himself in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. Then David said, "No one may carry the ark of God but the Levites, for the Lord has chosen them to carry the ark of God and to minister for him forever." And David gathered all Israel together at Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord to its place, which he had prepared for it. David assembled the children of Aaron, the Levites, the sons of Kohath, Uriel, the chief, and 126, or 20 of his brethren, of the sons of Merari, Asher, the chief, and 220 of his brethren, the sons of Gershom, Joel, the chief, and 130 of his brethren. Of the sons of Eliphazan, Shemaiah, the chief, and 200 of his brethren. Of the sons of Hebron, Elah, the chief, and 80 of his brethren. You get the idea. Lots of people involved with this. Then he said to them, jumping to verse 12, "You are the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel to the place that I have prepared for it. For because you did not do it right the first time, or did not do it the first time, the Lord God broke out against us because we did not consult him about the proper order. For the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark, and the children of the Levites bore the ark of God on their shoulders by its poles, as the Lord had commanded, or Moses had commanded, according to the word of the Lord." So David, the elders of Israel, and the captains over thousands went to bring up the house of the Ark of Covenant of the Lord from the house of Obed-Edom with joy. So we have here this ark sitting here that needs to be transported in a proper way. Now, last time you might remember we dragged it in because it was put on a cart. That seemed to be a sort of expedient way of doing it, but that wasn't the way that God intended. And we see in the passage here, perhaps if we look back at that one, it said the proper order, and I think that was in verse 13. For you did not do it the first time, and I read that incorrectly. I said you did not do it right the first time. Well, not only did they not do it right, they didn't use the proper people, because it was to be the Levites and the sons of the Levites. And they were the only ones that could transport the ark. Bearing in mind, it didn't need to be transported that often, but when it had to be done, it was to be done in the proper order and the right way round. I think it's important we understand that in this first understanding of the correct way to do it, we have it on the front of our newsletter, to hear God and obey. So the two sub-points I want to make here, that to hear and obey goes together. That probably isn't very profound if we just say it and read it. It's on the front of our newsletter just about every week if you have a read of it here in our values, to hear and obey. Well, of course, to hear and obey. But what are we obeying? Are we obeying what we're hearing? Are we even obeying at all? Or are we just hearing? Are we obeying without hearing? Lots of disconnects we've made between those two words, but essentially, if we are doing the correct thing that God wants, it involves a hearing of what he wants and obeying what he wants, the correct order. And I'm probably labouring the point a little bit this morning, but we saw the result and the outcome of not doing it the correct way. So I happen to have a couple of sons of Levites here this morning, if you excuse me for suggesting that I'm in any way representing a Levite. We've got a couple of sons here who actually are quite similar, which is helpful because if they're different heights, it doesn't work too well here. So if the sons of Levites are going to grab the two poles, thanks, and we're going to transport the ark properly. Now, the rest of you may have to get involved with this, and we don't have the trumpet playing this morning, but if we were to pretend there's lots of noise, et cetera, and everyone's enjoyed. So come over here, guys, and I'm going to need another couple of people to give me a hand who I'll pick out carefully here. Now, if we slide it, Kieran, have a seat. I'm going to pick you out. That's right. Now, if we slide it under here, it's going to have to sit in these perfectly made little things. I have no idea if they were ever used for this, but if we slide that up under there, and then just, now, I hope these poles are going to be strong enough. This is where these illustrations sometimes don't work. No, hang on. Now, careful. You have to turn around. This has to be transported. Anybody want to help me here how this is to be done? That's the right place. No, that's the right place. I want it in the middle bit there. Yep. Has it been unpropped? Yep, we need it there. But before you lift it, hang on. We're talking all about the correct order here, about hearing and obeying, not what we think is a good idea. Hang on a second, guys. We're going to get someone to give you a hand. Anybody pick it up when you're reading it? How is it to be done? Yes. It says here in verse 15, if you could pull that up, thanks, Andy, the ark of God on their shoulders by its poles. So we need another couple of people to give us a hand to lift it up, because these guys have to put it on their shoulders. That's what's in the... So someone wouldn't mind giving me a hand. Yeah, thanks. That's great. Uzza, poor old Uzza, who's risen from the dead after 2 weeks ago. So if we lift this up here, Steve, that'd be great. And then if we lift it up, and it's got to be on your shoulders. Turn around on your shoulders. That's right. Turn around, Jono. Yep. Okay.
Weighted to one side.
You've got it?
One side's heavier than the other.
One side's heavier than the other. That's right. You're right there? Okay, so the ark is now being transported. If you come up here, Steve, thanks, that'd be great. Very carefully, and then it will be put in the position here in front. Now, it is a little bit lopsided, but we can't touch it. Turn around, and we'll put it down carefully. We can't touch it. And then we'll go down carefully. That's right. Now we can hold on to it, and we'll drop just carefully down to your knees. We've got the weight now. That's good. Down you go. Yep. We've got it. Lovely. Thanks very much. If you leave the poles there, thanks. Great. Thanks, guys. A big hand. Well done. Now, while this is an illustration, a representation of the ark, it did have the poles actually part of it, but that was the way it needed to be done. So the correct way in which the ark was transported involved not only hearing, but also obeying in a specific way. So that's the first part of the sea. We'll put a little can up here. Correct is to hear and obey. Secondly, what is the result? We mentioned before this guy Obed-Edom, and we mentioned him last week as the person who took the ark that had been incorrectly transported and looked after it. It says that God greatly blessed his house. Now, I wonder what the result could be for each one of us if we were to hear and obey the Lord correctly and see how the result would be for us. Now, I've got a whole lot of verses that we're going to flick up here and point out what happened to Obed-Edom. And I want to preface this by saying that in the church we make a lot of gifting, and it's very important that we do that. This last week I met with a number of people to talk about various projects, and when I got onto the thing that was their gifting and the thing that really got them going, it was like the eyes lit up, we got going, and it was suddenly like, wow. And I realized that their gifting that God had given them had caused them to fire up on a particular thing and maybe be less excited on other things. But it was very clear that gifting led to service or involvement or the fulfillment of something. Gifting and understanding that is very good, and we spend rightly a lot of time on it in the church. The downside of focusing too much on gifting is you get the sort of comments when you don't have too many Obed-Edoms around, as we'll see shortly, who say, it's not my gifting to help with morning tea or welcoming or whatever. And this isn't the sermon I give where we're looking for people to fill rosters. It's not that at all. But you can sometimes rely on gifting a little bit too much for a reason not to do something. It's not my gifting, I don't feel led, it's not the way I'm wired up, etc., etc., etc. And we can find ourselves not doing things that necessarily need to be done. But it seems that something happened to this guy Obed-Edom. In fact, if we read it back in chapter 13, I'll just read the verse out here. It says that for him, the ark of God remained in the house of Obed-Edom, and the Lord blessed the house and all that he had. His family, his business, his possessions, etc., etc. So what happened to this guy Obed-Edom if he'd had the glory or the representation of the glory of God in the middle of his house for 3 months? We see here an awful lot happened. Now we're going to run through the story of this guy from now on. So Andy, we could bring these verses up. There are a whole lot of them as you look through the book of Chronicles. And we see here, and it says here in Chronicles 15:18, with their brethren of the second rank, etc., etc., etc. And we said Obed-Edom in here. So Obed-Edom became a gatekeeper in the house of the Lord. So that's the first thing we read about Obed-Edom. As a result of containing or looking after the glory of the Lord, God blessed him and he became a gatekeeper. Next one, thanks Andy, we'll just flick through them. And then we see here, etc., here we have Obed-Edom. He became a harpist. So I don't know how you play the harp or how long it takes to learn it, but he decided this is something that I want to do because I have been blessed with the glory of God. I'm a gatekeeper, and he also got going on the harp. So you could say, well, if you're a sort of an outside guy and someone who's responsible for finance and property, we have folk here, that's my thing. Tony, don't get me to play the guitar, or Sandra, don't get me to play the guitar, etc., because my thing is out there. Well, Obed-Edom didn't seem to have a thing after a while. He realized that actually where he was called and where there was need to serve in the house of God, that's where we saw him. So where does he pop up? Let's move on, thanks. So David, the elders of Israel, and the captains over the thousands went to bring up the house. That's the reference to the verse we've just seen. If we can flick on again here. So Asaph the chief, etc., etc., etc. And we've got Obed-Edom. Now he's making music with cymbals. So he could say, and it would be justifiable to say, I'm actually a guitarist, I'm not available to do anything else. But we say, Obed-Edom, there was a need for a cymbal player, a cymbalist or whatever that's called. So we've got him as a gatekeeper looking after stuff outside, keeping the gate as it were. Then on the guitar, the modern illustration of a harp, and then he's on the drums. So this guy seems to be everywhere because he has been blessed with the presence of God and knows there is something he has to do that God is calling him to do. Thanks. Next one. We see an Obed-Edom with 68 of his brethren, including Obed-Edom the son of etc., to be gatekeepers. This is reinforcing the gatekeepers, but we've moved on to the latter part of Chronicles here. He didn't just do it himself. He brought 68 of his brethren. Now, there is a development going on in the life of this man, where he says, this isn't only something for me, but I want to tell others about what God has done for me, and so enthused others That is, brethren got involved, and a considerable number. And then flicking on again, thanks. Moreover, the sons of Obed-Edom, etc., 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 etc. And the next verse again, if we can see that, all these are sons of Obed-Edom and their sons and brethren, the work 62 of Obed-Edom. And the next verse, thanks. And we see here, to Obed-Edom the south gate and to his sons the storehouse. Ultimately, he was responsible for the south gate. And what that meant is he was responsible for a quarter of the city with all of his brethren and sons and daughters. So he started off a relatively unknown man, and he said, I've got a place for God. I've got a place in my living room. It's nothing flash, but I would be honoured to store the glory of God in the little place that God has given me. And we see out of that the story of Obed-Edom, who is everywhere. He turns up as a gatekeeper. He enthuses his whole family. His whole family become gatekeepers, are responsible for a quarter of the city. He's on the drums, he's on the guitar, he's everywhere he's needed. I'm not sort of making something out of this that is over the top, but it seems to be that this all started from a man who wasn't acknowledged or recognised before. And if we can flick to the end, there's one more verse, Andy, and we're jumping now right through 1 Chronicles into 2 Chronicles, just in case you haven't noticed there. So we've jumped a number of years forward, and we see here, and this is a sad story of the demise of Israel, but this has jumped forward a bit. The silver and the gold, etc., the treasures of Obed-Edom, the treasures of the king's house, and the hostages in return to Samaria. Obed-Edom, by that stage, his house had become very, very wealthy. So the story of Obed-Edom seems to be, if there's a correct handling and hearing and obeying, the result seems to be something comes out of the heart that says, there's stuff that needs to be done, and I'll put my hand to it. Now, the next bit of what I want to say is a little bit delicate and a bit tricky, because I haven't asked permission of people, because I know if I did that, they'd probably say no. So I'm going to mention them in code today, my third letter. And you probably recognize their names. One of them is Obed-Neville. You probably don't know who I'm referring to here. But Obed-Neville is someone who I've found that if I've said, hey, this needs to be done, and Obed-Neville says, oh, I can do that. I can do that. In a few weeks' time, Obed-Neville's going to be speaking to us today. And Obed-Neville has been asking about this for some time. And I'm really looking forward to what Obed-Neville might bring. But I'm not wanting to pick out or embarrass Obed-Neville in front of anyone else or suggest that he does more or less than anyone else. But there is something of the spirit of Obed-Edom on him. I also want to acknowledge Obed-Zerah. And Obed-Zerah is someone that you might also know who is available and has been involved in a number of things. That's all I'm going to say to mention those two folk, because there are a number of Obed-Edoms in the congregation here. And these are folk, I'm deliberately not catching their eyes there because I don't want to point out anyone more or less, because there are a number of them, some who really will remain nameless, who are actually able to grasp that something needs to be done. And it's a wonderful thing as a pastor of the church to hear that somebody has visited someone, taken a meal, done something that's often behind the scenes. This is the gatekeeper role. This is looking after the gates, looking those from outside. And you see the progression as Obed-Edom started off looking after the gates, the stuff outside, the stuff that needed to be done. And there was a bringing inside as a result of what God had done for him. And as he brought inside, there was this, firstly the sense of playing the harp, which was the quiet thing. And then what's the opposite of the quiet thing? The symbols, the big loud thing. So I want to suggest that there may be something in there as a result and a code for the way that God works if we're able to be open to what it is he had for us. So back to the last one, the code, as we think about that today. And the code I want to consider for where we're at a church is that in 2 weeks' time we want to just give a summary of how we're at with these three things we're praying for. The evangelist, Muslim outreach, and the elderly. And as we consider those three things, we want to pray about the specific correct thing that God's saying. We see in the passage here today, there was a very specific way in which the ark was to be carried. Now, as you saw with Jono, that wasn't easy. It was pretty awkward to have to carry this thing on their shoulders, and the thing was tilting round. It may not have been the most stable. And yet there was a specific correct way, and there was a result from that correct way in blessing the house of Obed-Edom. The reason I say that is because when God wants to speak about something he wants to do, it isn't just do it or not. I gave the example during the week, and I'm sorry if it's a, if it's trotted out a little bit, we have a specific shopping list on our fridge, and you may have heard the illustration before. I find it really awkward to write with a ballpoint pen that way, because, you know, if you write a pen that way on the fridge, the ink doesn't run, you know, it is. And so you can't actually write very clearly, and I think we should have probably the shopping list at another place in the house. But nonetheless, on the fridge it is, and that's where it shall remain. So I'm accused of spider writing as I'm trying to write the things, but unless the things are there clearly, we don't get them. So actually, it's really important they get written down. Enough of our shopping list, but we don't just write food. Get food. We write specifically, and sometimes it's even the brand of the particular type of peanut butter or whatever it happens to be. Because if you're into peanut butter, which we are, there is some brands that will not substitute for others. Who can relate to that? Okay, it's very specific. Peanut butter, food of the gods, some people have said. It's an amazing thing, but it needs to be bought in a specific way and a specific time, or the people will not be happy. The reality is that there is a very specific way in which we order our lives, and a specific way and a correct way that things are to be done, and yet often we treat the things of God as a mere generality. Yep, so what about this evangelist? What are we going to do? Yep, let's do it. Is that possibly the way that God would be speaking? Just a yes or a no? Or do you think it would be like the conversation with this young man earlier in the week? A specific person at a specific time doing a specific role. And I really believe the example that we've seen over these last few weeks of Obed-Edom shows us that God can speak to us very specifically. Recapping very quickly on the story of David, he was told in the two conquests for the Philistines, first time, go at them, you'll win. That's a general word. The second time, don't just go at them, go round the back, encircle them, the original pincer movement, that's how it was understood, and you'll hear the sounds in the top of the mulberry trees. When you hear that sound, go and do that. And I want to emphasize that again. That wasn't a 5-minute prayer to find that out. I was chatting with someone last night. What is direct intercessory prayer that God would lead us to do something look like? And often it involves a personal conviction, personal sanctity, and also what we do corporately, but it involves a lot of time to wait and consider what it is that God is saying. And could I encourage us over the next 2 weeks, if we look at the example of Obed-Edom, who would not want that change in our own experience when God gets hold of us? His glory is in the midst of us, and said these changes can happen as a result. Who would not want that? And we see that for David, it involved much time in prayer. And we as a church want to wait for much time in prayer for these three things, because we believe there'll be much fruit. But the fruit will be nothing like it could be if we don't, or the fruit will be nothing compared to what it could be if we just go ahead and say, yeah, it sounds good. Yep, tick the box on that. Specifically, correctly, in some detail, in the right time, at the right place, at the right measure. It's often said that as Christians, many of us of whatever age are like children in our faith, and we're known as that. But children have a thing or a tendency to observe well, but to interpret badly, because they haven't yet had the ability to understand and discern what God is saying. Church, I believe it's time for us to move on from a time where we as children may have just said yes, no, food, whatever, into a time and a place where we are interpreting correctly what God is saying to us. Could I encourage us, particularly over the next few weeks, to specifically think of those three areas, pray for those areas, and say, what is God saying to us specifically as we think of the example here of Obed-Edom, his specific response and the way in which the ark and the glory of God should be contained. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us, and Lord, just want to pray and say, help us to be as specific and as detailed with you as you are with us. If you just slapped us together and hadn't thought about the way in which all the parts work together, we'd be thinking, I wish it was made better. I wish it was done better. And Lord, you may look at us in the church and say, I pray that they would hear me about the way I want to do it. In a sense, I wish it was done better or done correctly. So Father, as we think about the correct way that you would do things and the result that comes of that, how you would make that a code for us here at Beckenham, that we would consider that the code is made by following correctly and seeing the result as a response of that. Father, we thank you for your word to us. And I thank you, Lord, for the budding Obed-Edoms that we have in our midst as we look and see what it is to have the glory of God come in us. We thank you, Lord, for your word to us. May it be light and life to us today. Amen.